Unit 38, that's a 10-1, that's half 36. Copy, it's 1-4, show us on route, ETA 2 minutes.
Welcome to Running Code, the podcast where you, the viewer or the listener, get to know a little bit more about the men and women of the Newport News, Virginia Police Department. Hello, Melissa. We're back for another episode.
Hi, Morgan. We are.
Mm-hmm.
We are back.
And I still have the facial hair. My wife
Sorry,
has not
Jeff.
Forced me to
yeah.
shave it yet.
Sorry, Jess. I'm working on it.
That's right. That's right. We have a great guest today. Somebody who I admire very much, for the record.
We do have a great guest. You want to introduce yourself to everybody? Let them know who you are?
Sure. My name is Cornelius Webster. I serve as a lieutenant for the Newport News Police Department. Joined in 2010. Been on the department for about 15 years, going on 16 years now, if you do the math already. And the husband to my wife, Marlena, and father to my son, Cornell, and my daughter, Elena.
Wow. 15 years.
15 years.
Yeah. Enjoyed it?
I am. It's been good. Honestly, when I grew up, I didn't know I was going to be a police officer.
Right.
I liked law enforcement. Right.
Sure.
And I like, you know, the action movies, but I didn't know until I got older and I realized, like, okay, this is what I want to do.
So it called you and you answered.
Yeah.
I think that's wonderful. So take us back to where you're from, and tell us a little bit about your career.
Sure. So I am a proud product of downtown Newport News.
Hey.
Awesome.
Born and raised. I am a Huntington Viking alumni.
Wow.
5,800 strong Heritage Hurricane alumni. I am a Christopher Newport University Gold Captains alumni.
All home.
Newport
All
News
home.
Through and through, you know. And then I ended up joining the police department after I graduated. You know, back then it took some time to get in the department. You know, today, you know, you put an application, you get a very quick response. You know, so then I, you know, went to Boston University, got my master's degree, and I just matriculated through life, you know. So but yeah, I guess I kind of sped through that. Should I break that down a little, give a little more detail?
Sure. Listen, if you don't mind, if you could just briefly touch on where you've been and what you've done.
Sure.
Leading up to, of course, where you're at now.
Okay. Yeah. So when I started in Central Precinct. I was got off LTO, was in Midnights, but thank goodness, as Captain Cut mentioned in the last episode, for the bid process to happen in October. So I got off Midnight very quickly.
That bid process saves people.
Yeah, it does.
You're not a fan at all.
And I went to Watch 2 because I also saw the benefit in a learning curve. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to get the exposure that I want and needed to become a better officer. And then I worked there, and then I got put in a transfer to South Precinct, Watch 2, and I believe it was about 2012, going into 2013. And then at that point, I put in for a sergeant, and I was fortunate enough to become a supervisor, and I was transferred up north. That was in 2015. And then I was able to work up in with Lieutenant Morgan, and of course, the retired Captain Morgan, Tejans, and SRO, and the School Resource Officer Division, the unit, sorry. And then I ended up working there until I got promoted to Lieutenant and went to South Precinct. And then I was transferred to North Precinct in 2023 as a lieutenant as well. And then I've been recently transferred to the Training Academy.
Right. And so as and you are the Training Academy instructor.
Academy director.
Director.
No, sorry, that's right. Director. My fault. Director. And you oversee all things training.
Yes, sir. And it's been I'm very proud of the Training Academy. I'm very proud. I see the work that gets done there and the guys that work there. I mean, our training academy is DCJS, Department of Criminal Justice Services, certified as an independent training academy. So that allows the police department to conduct its own training at its will, to its needs. It is also CLIA accredited, which is an international standard that we strive for. But even beyond that, you know, like the state requires us to do 480 hours of training.
Ugh.
We do over 1,000. So even with right. all the accreditation and certifications, we still strive for this
still
level
doing.
Of excellence to give the officers what they need to hit the right. street.
And those, when you say those hours, you're referring to the new hires. When they're hired and they come to the academy,
yes, sir.
They have to have a certain number of hours before the Department of Criminal Justice Services will recognize them as official law enforcement officers.
Absolutely.
But we double that.
Absolutely.
Well, let me back up. More than double
we
that.
More than double
right.
that. And,
right.
and that is a product of our vision of our chief, and so we just kind of continue to implement that in our academy. We want them to hit the street with things that the state may not have decided they needed, whether it's like understanding community policing or crisis intervention. And we recently just bought this $170,000 virtual reality training system to not only assist our new recruits, but also continuing the education of our current officers. And so that also not only helps our officers, but it also helps our community members. So I'm excited about that. It's called the Virtual System. Right. And that's going to be used to really help our community members really understand what we do and kind of get an idea of the hardship of law enforcement and the right. decision making and the liability and the risk that we take yeah. when we hit the street. And it, of course, it will never really truly duplicate being out there and being by yourself and making those life decisions. But if they can just get an idea, you know what I sure. mean, of what's going on in an officer's mind and that serious moment, that
sure.
I think it'll build a sense of camaraderie and understanding that we need to right. kind of bridge that whatever trust gaps that are in the community. I think that's a really good first
and
step.
And it offers a sense of how quickly things unfold.
Right. Yeah. yeah.
And the split second decisions that have to be made.
Yeah. So like that. So like, for instance, that virtual system. So like, you know, an officer, the consequences are just real, right? You know, you're out there, you're in the street, you're by yourself. But in that training facility and in our virtual reality virtual system, they have a actual weapon that has kickback, right? It's metal. It's kind of mm-hmm. heavy, right? You have a system that you can put on your body to kind of give you like an electrical shock a little bit, right? And you just have this overall underlying tone of performance anxiety because you just want to get it right.
Sure.
All right, and so you'll speak to the system and it'll give you a particular result. So like if it's a traffic stop and a guy's like, you know, not getting out of his car or is getting out of his car, there's a instructor who's going to dictate the responses to kind of help you understand like, well, what you need to say. If you're saying the correct thing, maybe we'll de-escalate it. If you're not saying the correct thing, maybe we'll have to, maybe the guy get out of the car and start dancing. Maybe the guy get out of the car and start approaching you. Like, we have different options.
Right.
And so the officers, of course, when they go through the training academy and when they go through our yearly in-service, which we do more hours of that than we need to, right? We do 40 hours every year. The DCJS requires 40 hours every 2 years.
Right.
Right. So, but in doing so, when we run this exercise, these citizens get to see that like, oh, like this is actual shoot or no shoot exercise.
Right.
And they are unable to get the case law and the understanding about why we do what we do.
Yeah, it's a brilliant system. Mm-hmm. And I think that's only one of many things
yeah.
that we purchase
Absolutely.
And train on
yeah.
and so that we can be the best that we can be.
Absolutely.
Because in the end, we owe it to the people we serve.
Yes.
Right, so you're now the academy director. Now, obviously you oversee the new employees. We
yes.
know that. But you also oversee yearly training for the police department.
Yes, sir.
You also oversee what training comes in from private instructors and so forth and so on,
yes.
right? How do you keep track of all that?
Oh, man, look, I can't take credit for that. I have a great staff out there. They are hardworking. They love their jobs. When people come to the training academy, it's because they have a heart for helping people understand. Mm. I think that is, you know, it's one thing to care about people. It's another thing to want to equip yourself to be competent and confident in that moment. But it's another thing to look at someone and want to persuade them into becoming knowledgeable. And I think that is a skill set. I think that's like a passion. I think that's what we have there. I know that's what we have there. The hours they put in, and the person who oversees specifically our specialty school is MPO Jackson. And so she takes the time to try to ensure that we at least have, you know, at minimum three quality programs coming to our academy every month. And so that's anything from special victims to community to basic investigations to narcotics investigations. We're just really trying to filter that information and get the officers what they need. And of course, we'll get feedback from the organizations, from leadership. But whatever it takes to get us to the next level and get us to that level of excellence and confidence, that's what we'll do.
Wow, that's amazing. And I know that you mentioned earlier that you graduated from CNU.
Yes.
Now, you know, another guest we had on recently was Captain Cup. He's also a CNU alumni. You share
yes.
that,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, are you
absolutely.
Still also connected to CNU?
Oh, for sure. I am a proud alumni. I guess I skipped the personal life section really quickly now that
it's
I think
okay.
about it.
It's all right.
But I'm a proud alumni. Like I went there for 4 years, and I'm the first person in my family to graduate from college, so that was a big
that's
deal
huge.
For us. I've had an amazing experience. I think seeing you was right down the street, but I would have never thought that was in the city of Newport News. You know what I mean? Like, I don't tell this story often, but I guess, you know, I had the opportunity of going back. So I played football at Christopher Newport University, and I had Coach Paul Crawley gave me an opportunity to come back and talk to the players. And it kind of just came out in story time. But, like, my freshman year, I didn't live on campus, right? And so I used to catch the HRT bus from Blair and Buxton to Christopher Newport University in the morning. And then eventually I did move on campus. I developed some lifelong friendships there. The teammates and friends I developed were groomsmen at my wedding. And then we ended up just, you know, like, I don't know, it's been a great situation. Just recently, they were able to assist us with having a football camp this summer. So they brought out players and coaches and equipment, and Lafia Morrison, he coordinated that, and with Newport News Public Schools, and we use Todd Stadium. So the partnerships are strong. They definitely are a supportive group, and I appreciate them. They've been nothing but good to me. I have nothing but great memories and nothing to thank them for what they contributed to my life.
Wow, that's wonderful. Now, Melissa and I, we worked with you in where, yeah. Melissa? Where
well, we? I can say I have the distinction of being somebody who's worked with him since he started.
Correct.
Like,
absolutely.
We met each other in Central Precinct when he first hit the
yes.
road running.
Really?
Yes.
So we go way
okay.
back. But we all three worked together in CYOD.
We did. Yeah. That was a great experience. I think as I recall Captain Cubs on the prior episode, he was talking about how, like, you kind of work with people, but not, you can be in the same job and not really see that. I said, well, that ain't gonna happen with us. We saw each other a
always,
lot, right? You know
always.
What I mean? I had a great time working with you two and at School Resource Officer. I think it was a phenomenal time. But like I said, I first met Lieutenant Morgan. She was my partial evening shift FTO. And without pitting, you know, saying too much, like, that FTO process was a little bit, you know, shaky, right? Like, and she came in there, she said she saw my B-13 had not been filled out at all. And I remember her just saying, oh, we got to get this done. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So I appreciate, you know, her doing her thing and helping me with that.
Yep. B-13 is a form we have to send, I should say, to DCJS.
Correct. Which says that you have been given, you have
certified,
you've done your 100 hours of field training, and now right. you're able to go and hit the street as an independent officer. And then, of course, I first met you, Captain Tejans, in South Precinct, right? And I remember, you know, some of my first initial conversations with you were you just identifying the leadership skills in me, right? and motivating me and inspiring
yeah.
me to actually put in for supervisor.
Yes, so I did. Yeah.
I thank you and for your career and for your words.
You
and
did the work, my friend.
Well, no, yeah, but it takes a community and support. So mm-hmm. I appreciate that. You
and
didn't have to do that.
It was a pleasure. I mean, knowing that in some small way I contributed is just a joy for me. And we've had this conversation as leaders, or as supervisors, especially as leaders. We have a responsibility to identify employees who would make good supervisors,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Because sometimes they do not see it in themselves.
I totally agree. I think my favorite quality to look at to identify people to try to help into leadership is how I see them supervise their people, how they lead the people that's their current subordinates, the people, their current followers. Because, hey, maybe one day you're so good, you might be my leader.
That part.
Absolutely.
If I do my job right. You will be mine.
You know, and so I'm investing in my future,
that
you know,
part.
Not
you
just in my present. And I, you know, so I believe that that's a significant quality. And if I can, you know, provide my, you know, a kind of a 360 evaluation with someone, then I would love to do that as well as just to help them move along. But what you did was great, and I appreciate that for
yeah.
sure.
It was a pleasure working with you, and I'm so proud of you for many accomplishments you've had throughout your career. But now you are literally responsible for the development and training of everyone that comes through those doors. Now that's a heavy task. I was the director, as you know, at one point. Mm-hmm. That is a heavy task. But it is a task that you and I take very seriously.
Absolutely. And I you know, it's funny you say that in our connection to SRO, because I feel like that experience is in schools really kind of helped prepare me for this school. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And, this academy. I walk in the door, like, you know, I with the theme of or mindset, I just want to go tell my recruits, like, hey, like, this is not a tryout, right? Like, this is more of a boot camp, right?
Right.
Right. Like, this is more of a undergrad, right? If you
right.
want to be a police officer on our department, you will be.
Yes.
Right. We have the best training academy. We have the best staff. We have the resources dedicated. I, on a side note, I agree with the topic from Captain Cup that he brought up about this department not being too big and too small, in the sense that, like, I missed kind of bring it up in a different way, but we're big enough for the numbers to matter, but small enough for the relationships to matter.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so I think that, like, if you are an officer and you say, hey, I want to be a police officer, of course you got to support and back up what you say with your actions and your deeds. But if you're willing to put in the work, you're going to be a police officer. That's what we do. We make people police officers. We transition them into the uniform and prepare them to hit the street best we can, best we know how.
Yeah. And as leaders, we invest time and energy into them when they get out here to develop them, right? Because our development never stops. All three of us are developing constantly.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
Always.
And all three of us have been here a while. Me retired, but y'all are still active duty, if
yes,
you
sir.
Will. We're constantly developing,
God,
right?
Wow. Yeah.
And who excels? Those people who realize that I can't count on other people to develop me, even though they do, I have to contribute too.
Absolutely.
I have to read, I have to study, I have to do all the things, go the extra mile to be the best leader that I can be,
Being the primary responsible person for your education.
Yeah. Absolutely. We had a lot of laughs working together.
Oh, man.
Man,
we had
a lot of laughs working together.
I don't even know if I would call it work.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean?
No, not at all.
The
we
fun
enjoyed.
That we had, it was just fun.
And we dealt with some things, you know, some of the things at the schools.
Yep.
And now, God bless them. Our schools are phenomenal. But the nature of our job is that we deal with the worst of the worst.
Right.
And I feel like we've overcome some things. I remember, you know, the heritage and, you know, of course, that's school I graduated from.
Right.
So it was a little extra personal for me. But I just remember like us banding together, right? And just coming together. Doing what we had to do to just make sure everything was safe for those kids to get back in a safe learning environment.
Right.
And no matter what time of the day it was, if I called you or you called me,
Absolutely.
We'd pick up the phone. It could be 2 a.m.
Absolutely.
Hey, this is what I got going on.
And
we need to be here tomorrow morning at this school.
Work until the job is done.
Right.
We
what was our mission? What would we say? We work by the mission, not by the hour.
By the mission and not by the hour.
That's right.
And we
That's
got
right.
it done. And we made some very, very strong bonds and had great relationships with the school staff.
Absolutely.
I mean, the teachers in Newport News, Virginia work hard.
Oh.
Their leadership works hard. They care about the kids, and it's
it's a testament to their quality because they're highly sought after, right?
As soon as
they start to show their excellence, so many jurisdictions come calling, looking for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're quality, high quality, and I'm grateful for them.
So being busy between work, family, because I know you're crazy about your family. I know that they're everything to you. We've had those conversations. They're everything to you.
Yes, sir.
Where do you find spare time to do something for Cornelius Webster?
Oh, man. You would ask the one question that I don't have an answer to. You know, like, I don't know. I just at this point, I just value the quiet moments I get while I'm supporting them in their activity.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So, like, if my daughter is at cheer practice and I'm just chilling in the car, I'm enjoying that time.
Yeah.
If Cornell is doing something and I don't know, if he's S1 practice or whatever. And I can just sit there and just enjoy that quiet space, but still feel like I'm being present, you know, and being supportive in a, you know, third party manner or whatever that is.
And they know you're there.
And they know I'm there. I mean, outside of, like, I still like try to go to the gym and work out a little bit or, you know, but I think what I've been able to do to kind of really like help myself is just get back into coaching a little bit. And it benefited me as well as benefited the kids. And so, like, you know, I think, I'm fortunate that I was able, as Melissa wears her Tri-City gear, you know, shout out to Tri-City. A lot of respect, a lot of great leadership in the organization, a lot of committed citizens from great backgrounds, a lot of stories, a lot of positive examples for the youth in that one organization. They do so much for the community, so I commend them. And I'm grateful for the people that kind of helped me connect with that group as well. Harrison Kent, somebody who I went to Christian Newport University with, he was the first person I called. I said, hey man, I know you got your son playing in rec sports, like what do you, you know, who do you affiliate with? And he brought up Tri-City, and that's kind of how I got involved.
Right.
Well, I need to say thank you too then, because you bought me and he bought you, so thank you, Mr. Ken.
Yeah, Ken is the man. And for me it was one that, like, my son wanted to play, right? And then so I felt like it was good father-son time.
Sure.
And then of course, like, I value the mentorship of youth and development, right? I try to offer what I felt like I would have needed when I was growing up, you know?
Right. Sure.
And then also, just the love of football in general. I'm a big football fan, football head.
You're a big Buffalo Bills fan, aren't you? You're a Buffalo Bills fan.
You didn't even get the statement out, and he was already laughing. Like, did you know that was coming?
Yeah, Yeah, no, I'm a big Commanders fan.
Oh, sorry. I'm confused.
You know, we are at the,
laughing with you. Yeah, I was tracking with you till you said that.
No, I get it. That's fair. And look, since 1992, it's been a long time since we've had something positive to cheer for. So I'm very, very grateful for that. And then it felt like I was able to knock out some community engagement as well, right? Like, I was like, I'm able to coach, and our games are in the district that I oversee as a lieutenant in 33.
So both of your children play in the same league, if you will.
Yeah.
Now, I noticed, Melissa, that Cornelius has a couple of items up there, but you don't have any. What is that? What are those things sitting on the?
Those are Super Bowl rings. Yeah. All of the kids and the coaches, every time they win a Super Bowl, they get a ring.
Yeah. And Lim, I had the pleasure of coaching Lim.
He did. About two years ago. When he first got to the league.
And he's going to be a beast. I can't wait to see what happens when he grows up.
Man.
Last year we won Super Bowl, and then we went to Richmond and played in like a state regional kind of tournament and won that as well. Had a great time. So like I value that time with them, and I got to get some quality memories, quality experiences, and kind of make a meaningful impact and just check so many boxes personally for me. And I think even though it is involving so many other factors, I think I got such a sense of fulfillment out of that.
Yeah.
It kind of felt like I was doing something for myself too.
Yeah.
Right. Because we as parents win in the end too.
Right. You know,
and it's fulfilling.
And seeing the kids, I mean, at minimum, if your kid is learning discipline, commitment, working as a team, some forms of leadership, you know, and whether fighting through the hardship, you know, being committed when it's hot and then when it's cold, right? You know, like that is a mental endurance that'll take you far.
Yeah.
That's beyond whatever organization you play for. But if you add in quality organization and coaches and caring parents and people being able to raise funds and donate, like that just takes it to another level. So it's a really good program.
It really is a group effort. Yeah. And you take those values and the characteristics that you've picked up, let's say in college football, right?
Absolutely.
Because not everybody plays college football.
Oh, yeah.
The best of the best play college football, right?
For sure.
And then let's not even talk about the NFL, right?
the cream of the crop. Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
But you carry those into your career.
Absolutely. And I would say, like, you know, I had the benefit of playing at Christopher Newport University. I was like a captain, all-conference player and all that. And I'm grateful, but I think the thing that it's a D3 school, and the thing I take with me the most, it wasn't going to the NFL, it was the relationships, it was the networking, it was the character development, it was the learning, the commitment to your mental health, to your physical health, spiritual health. It's just and then also just looking back and finding ways to be involved to help that next crop of people come about and still stay connected. Like, that has nothing to do with football,
right?
But that football was the conduit, it was the machine that kind of facilitated that. And then you know, everybody lands where they land, right? Like, you know, I've learned as I've grown up, I realized, like, you know, I needed some course correction when I was growing up, and maybe that course correction had me at a D1A school or something like that. But I realized quickly that you can't go back in the past and change things. You just gotta try to help the people ahead of you. So if I can help another kid who might be able to take better advantage of that opportunity, then why not, you know?
Yeah, and some of those children that we mentor learn from our stumbling blocks. Yeah.
That's right. I'm a big believer in learning from the mistakes of others.
Yes, yeah.
Some of the best lessons.
Right. Yeah.
And the biggest mistake you can make is not learning from the mistakes you've made.
Absolutely,
right?
For sure.
Yeah, and we've had some incredible conversations, you and I, about those kind of things, right?
Absolutely.
Stop, take a breath, what just happened?
Yeah,
right? How am I going to rectify this? How am I going to make it right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if you want to just, I mean, we've had so many great conversations, but you're right. Like, there's a time and a place where you have to reflect, right? And kind of debrief with self.
Yes.
And before you can go outside that door and talk to the sergeants and the officers, what do I think? What do I perceive about my actions and how I performed, and what can I do differently? And then, you know,
how do I move forward
from there?
And did I as the leader of this team perform to not only the expectations but to the best of my abilities, right?
Right.
Because ultimately, in the end, as leaders, the responsibility is on us for our team to perform flawlessly.
Absolutely. Right?
And if we don't, right. and if we don't, we have to go back and we have to make course corrections, like you said.
Right.
But it starts with me, the leader. It starts with the leader.
One great guy, I don't know where I learned this from or heard this from, but but he said, I fly planes. We all fly planes, right? Not fly planes, but take flights, I guess
sure.
is what I was trying to say. I was like nervous when I first got on the airplane. Like, this was like when I was in high school. And the guy said to me, he said, look, it's going to be tons of turbulence. But as long as the engines are running, you're fine.
Mm. Yep.
So if you hit an engine stop on the side of a plane, right. that's when you really should be concerned.
Right.
And so I kind of like, sometimes you got to work through it. Sometimes you're going to have highs, you're going to have lows, you're going to have turbulence, but you got to keep the engines moving.
Right.
And eventually you'll land. You'll get to where you need to get
yeah.
to.
And when you take that approach, you realize, it's not as bad as it seems.
Right, right.
It's not as
right.
bad as it
not
seems.
As
Absolutely.
As it
right.
It's relative. Everything's relative in life.
Yeah, right.
You know? So, hey, Matt, you got any, you got any questions for Cornelius?
Well, I am curious, knowing Lieutenant Webster a little bit, he's a very soft-spoken guy, but I need to know what kind of football player was Lieutenant Webster? What kind of person was he out there on the field? What position and what did that look like?
Yeah. That's hilarious. Yeah. I think somebody described it, like when I played at St. Christopher Newport, there's like, you have the teddy bear and the grizzly bear.
Ooh.
The grizzly bear can come out in football in small moments, but most of the time you get the teddy bear. You know what I mean? But I played defensive tackle and left tackle in high school, and then I got to college and played left tackle. And I guess if I had to think of a comp, this is gonna sound a little old school. I mean, today, Trent Williams is probably like the more popular, dominant left tackle in the NFL.
Okay.
But I would say I was more like a Jonathan Alden. I don't know if all the football heads I know who that is, but
okay,
you know what I mean. But he was more thoughtful, kind of smart guy, kind of philosophical, and kind of but he's a Hall of Famer, won Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens. So yeah. I think I'm kind of a twist between like him, Orlando Pace, and some of those greats back then. I'm really starting to age myself.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, from knowing you and working with you, and I'm sure Melissa will confirm it, you're always composed.
Well, thank you.
You know, no matter the situation, no matter how tough it is, no matter, even if it upsets you, right?
Thank you.
Because sometimes things just aren't right, you know?
Right.
Right. You're always composed. And especially if you have to address the troops, right? The people that you work with, you're going to make sure that before you show up, you're square.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
That's important.
That's intentional. I do try to maintain my composure, not in like a, and that's something I think about a lot, but I do want to be mindful of how what I communicate beyond my words.
Absolutely.
And because of course that may stick with people more than what I actually say.
That part.
Oh, your body language and all that good stuff. So Matt, can we roll into the rapid fire questions?
Absolutely.
Melissa, would you do the honors of going
first? Absolutely.
All right. Here, are you ready, Cornelius?
Here we go. Let's do it. All right. Ready or not, it's gonna happen anyway. So.
You're right.
May as well get ready.
Hey, listen, the plane engines are running.
Yeah, the plane engines are running, right? We'll see what kind of turbulence we get.
That's right.
Is it gonna be the teddy bear or the grizzly bear? All right, so question number one, city life or country living?
I'm going to say city life still, because I do like being in the midst of action while not being a part of it.
Interesting.
So maybe my house is like the country, but outside my house is like the city. So I like the option of being able to go and be a part of something or go to an event or the convenience of the stores and the commercial industry and all that stuff in my local area. But I think as I'm getting older, though.
A little bit of a slowdown.
Yeah, it's a bit of a transition starting to occur. That grass, as opposed to those concrete buildings, is starting to look a little bit better.
Right.
Yeah.
A little greenery there.
A little greenery there. Nice ambiance and the birds chirping.
Absolutely nothing wrong with waking up, right? Out here in the chickens.
Right. You know what I mean? That's not sounding too bad right now.
Now, Melissa, you're
city,
no doubt, right?
City. Yeah. So, I love being able to rip and run.
So you must have really enjoyed going to Boston then for that training.
I had a ball.
Oh,
it's beautiful.
I had a ball. Beautiful. I had city. To stop, slow down, wow. because I just ran so much. We had a ball.
That's oh, amazing. Yeah. That's awesome. I'm, for me, hybrid, really. Okay, I'm like you, kind of like that. A hybrid. Yeah, yeah, a little bit yeah. of each, if you will, mm-hmm. when I want it.
Right, right, yeah. right. I was like, yeah. I choose to win out, choose to engage as someone, maybe my battery's full. I want to be all social.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, a social on your terms.
Right. Okay. That's right. That's right.
All right. Run, swim, bike, or weights?
I'm going to go with weights.
Yeah, weight training.
Go with weights, yeah. I think that's just I'm so used to that. And I just enjoy that. And it's cool because my son is starting to get into weights now too. So it's kind of wow. like a nice little transition. But it's I think there's a lot of community that happens even in the weight room too. You know what I mean? Like, and so I enjoy that. And whether it's the gym that we have at North Precinct, which is, and our new academy.
Beautiful.
I'm grateful for it. It's a beautiful building. Give us tons of room, tons mm-hmm. of space for our academy class. And and we go there and work out or something like that. Or whether it's the YMCA, there's always a wonderful connection.
Yeah, we have probably one of the largest, correct me if I'm wrong, but we have one of the largest training facilities in Virginia.
Thank
yeah,
you, oh, City of Newport News.
For sure, absolutely. Man. I mean, for sure in the peninsula. And on the east and in the Hampton Roads region,
right?
We host about 6 large classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
3 of those classrooms can hold up to about 48 people, as well as we have our 2 BLE classes, our basic law enforcement classes, which host our recruits, and then we have our basic telecommunicators academy class. And that's decked out with TVs everywhere on the walls.
Oh, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so they, you know, the time, and that's also a part of your work you put in before you retired mm-hmm. as well as captain mm-hmm. down there. So it looks good, and it definitely is ready for the 21st century.
Yeah. Every instructor that is based out of that building has an office.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. We have a room where we can do things related to weapons and ammo and all right, that good stuff.
Armory
and yeah. the word slipped my
yeah,
mind.
I know. I was like, do I let them just describe it or do I give them the term?
Yeah, yeah. Retirement's been good to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, yeah. I've only been retired 2 months and I forgot the date once already, what day it was. But that's yeah, so the facility is gorgeous and it connects to our North Precinct.
Correct.
So officers, right after they get off duty, can go straight to the gymnasium,
absolutely,
which has professional grade equipment.
Absolutely, absolutely, and you know, we're still building it, so like mm-hmm. it's high quality, but we're still building it. So if there's someone out there that would love to contribute to our gymnasium,
yeah,
hey, hit us up. You know, we will definitely consider it. You know, we want to continue to build what we have. We have tons of equipment in there, and I think it can just be significant for what we're trying to accomplish in law enforcement, especially when we talk about like physical health, encouraging people to take care of their bodies
sure.
as well as their minds. And that's just a critical element for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful facility. We're very, very fortunate. And it wasn't always that way.
Right.
But, you know,
right.
our leadership, both internally, meaning agency wise, and of course, city leadership,
yeah.
we're all huge. Synchronized,
yeah.
right?
Right.
In, with relation to the importance of having a facility mm-hmm. that is that of that quality.
Yeah. Right.
Because in the end, the officers benefit. And when the officers benefit, the citizens benefit.
Correct.
Right. And you have that. Effect.
The cyclical effect.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Absolutely. Question number 3. Melissa, I think this one's
Is
yours.
Is that me?
Yep.
All right. Thin crust, regular crust, or deep dish pizza?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's such a random one. That's thin.
Yeah.
As of, thanks, Matt.
I know. As of late, it's been thin crust because I'm trying to cut back.
I hear
so,
you.
Like,
okay.
Yeah, so, it depends. Like, if I'm in Chicago, I'll go to deep crust, right? I can't. Yeah. And, you know, but as of late, I've been doing the thin crust.
I'm a thin crust guy too. However, I did experience not too long ago, Detroit style pizza. Have you ever had that?
I don't think so.
It's almost like a cross, but I've only had it once,
okay.
between thin crust and the Chicago one.
Really?
And it's somewhere in the middle, and the outside of the crust, it's done in a pan so that it's charcoaly, if you will. I don't know if that's the correct terminology, but it has a flavor that comes from that little... Oh.
Wow. Where'd you go?
Detroit.
Are you ready?
You want to give him a plug?
While we're right.
It was a local food truck.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, yeah,
that's impressive.
Tip top. Mm, I enjoyed
Detroit
it.
Style pizza.
All right, here we go. Jeans, slacks, sweats, or shorts?
Definitely going with the sweats.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely going
Comfort.
With the sweats. Absolutely. I would have wore sweats here. You know, but it still works, right?
It still works.
So,
yeah. I don't know who's gonna show up.
Yeah, right. I know they're only seeing the top half of my body, but you know, I'm still gonna wear some decent pants.
For me, it's jeans. I love a good pair of jeans, comfortable. Mm. You know, not tight, just comfortable jeans.
Yeah,
Melissa,
sweats all day.
You too, sweats all day.
Easy. Oh yeah.
Fair enough.
Oh yeah.
All right.
If they had a sweatsuit that we could wear to work, buddy.
You'd be all over it?
Every day. Every day.
I'm a big fan of athletic fit jeans, though. That's been a big theme.
You know, so. I love loose-fitting jeans.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Don't like the wide bottoms either.
I don't
like those.
Yeah.
No, they got to taper, you know what I mean?
Is that what you used to wear back in the day? You know,
when I was a young lad?
Yeah.
Listen, I might have even rolled those up.
Hey, there you go. You know something. All right. Okay.
All right. Last question, Melissa. It's on you.
Favorite childhood TV show?
Mm. Got to go into that Rolodex.
I know.
And you're going to age yourself, but
I know.
Yeah.
No. That's a tough question. I would say I watched a lot of wrestling when I was a kid.
As in professional wrestling?
Yeah.
Did you really?
I did. So I think that was like one of my favorite TV shows. Like, you know, some TV shows come hit and miss or come and go, but that one stuck with me throughout my childhood. Yeah. And so, like, you know, I don't watch it as much now as an adult, though.
Right.
But when I was a kid, man, I was all over it, you know.
When I was a kid, my dad used to watch professional wrestling.
Okay.
And it would come on at night. So I would come down halfway down the stairs and peek around and watch it. And he watched, like, now I'm really going to date it, Florida Championship Wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Georgia Championship Wrestling. No, I'm talking about, like, the AWA.
Yeah. Oh,
it was
wow.
Like, whoa. Yeah, we're going back to the 70s?
Yeah, no, he's like an originator right there.
Yeah. He really enjoyed those the professional wrestling. Yeah,
anytime we, you know, now again dating myself, I try to avoid it with wrestling.
Sure.
But, again dating myself, anytime we went to Blockbuster,
Did you get the videos?
I was getting the wrestling.
Did you get the wrestling?
I was getting the wrestling pay per views, and I was watching, you know, WrestleMania 1, 2, 3.
Now, have you ever been to a live wrestle?
For sure.
Norfolk Scope?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Norfolk Scope. I took my son as well. My daughter likes it too a little bit, but you know, he tends to like it more. Been to a couple of those. Got to see Roman Reigns and all the
did you really?
Greatest.
My father, Eric Kemp, he's retired, Sergeant Kemp.
Uh-huh.
He hooked me up with some tickets once, and I took my pops with me.
Oh yeah.
And so my dad and I went to Norfolk Scope because I know how much he liked it.
Wow.
I wasn't kind of a fan. I mean, yeah. But my dad liked it, I was going to go with my dad.
Yeah.
And we ended up going, and he got us some incredible seats.
Wow.
And we were placed right where the wrestlers come down. And my dad, I'll never forget, my dad had the absolute best time.
That's a wonderful memory to have.
It's an incredible memory.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was great because people get into that. They'll scream.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's intense. And I self-express, but I don't self-express to that extent. So I definitely was like, where do I sit?
Where the safe zone?
Is there a you know, is there like a quiet
non-yelling
zone?
Yeah.
Sir, I can't see, sir. Could you sit down?
Yeah. It's been great.
It's been fun.
Hey, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about myself and the Training Academy. And I'm proud of the work that you guys do here. It's awesome.
Aww.
And I also was on vacation when you had your retirement ceremony. So I wanted to use this platform as an opportunity to say thank you for your years of service. Thank you for your mentorship, the conversations, the guidance, the encouragement, working to the mission, holding me accountable.
Mm.
Just so many things. You've been phenomenal, and I just want to say thank you.
I'm humbled. Thank you very much. It was a joy to work with you. You're so genuine. You're so genuine. You care so much about the people in your charge and also the people around you, and especially the citizens. And I'm very proud of you. I mean, you've come such a long way. I mean, you really have. I'm so excited about seeing your future.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Melissa, I'll see you in maybe a month or so, right?
It's not going to take that long. Come on.
So it's been great. And we're on a bunch of platforms.
We are. We're everywhere. Facebook, Instagram, Apple app.
Like literally everywhere.
YouTube.
Yeah.
Check the box. Like us. Be our friend.
Absolutely.
All of those things.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us. Cheers.